Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf online at sunburymotors.com. And today's show brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Stock up for the holiday weekend now. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills. Indeed, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day. Brian Reynolds gets a new contract and acts like he's Aaron Judge.
And that one has hit a couple months way back and gone. Brian Reynolds showed off the power.
Todd Chipper used to hit him.
Oh, yeah. He has just tied this game. Second home run for Brian Reynolds.
Joe Block with the call. I think the others was Bob Walk, I believe, as the analyst. But Joe Block with the call on the Pirates Network as Brian Reynolds homers after getting a two-year contract. The irony for him is that he'll be done in 2 years, and he'll still be under Pirate control for two more years. All right, what do you get the guy that has everything when he retires? Did you hear about the Mike Krzyzewski story?
I didn't.
Okay. Mike Krzyzewski loves Yellow Labs. Loves Yellow Labs. Well, it turned out that Mike and Mickey Krzyzewski's Yellow Lab passed away last summer. Now, they decided, and I heard Mike talk about this. He was on a show, and I was listening to him. And he said he was asked about traveling. You know, where do you want to travel? And he said, hey, look, he said, I think Mickey should pick where we travel. And then, you know, and I'm more than happy to go anywhere. He said, but my first priority is, boy, he said, we lost our Yellow Lab last summer. I want to, he said, but we decided that with the season being the last season, everything that rolls into that last season, that we would wait till the season was over with to get a Yellow Lab. Well, at the Duke basketball banquet, John Shire and the team gave him a Yellow Lab.
How about that?
Now, I believe that the children, Mike's children and grandchildren, had arranged for a Yellow Lab. They'd gone to a breeder, and it was going to be about this time. So it actually might be that dog. I don't know. But they gave him a Yellow Lab. So they hand him the dog. And, of course, he's, you know, he's like, wow. You know, because he just loves Yellow Labs. Right? And all of a sudden the dog looks at him, starts licking his face. You're like, you're like, really? That's really, it's actually kind of cool. All right. What do you got? Randy. Hey, Randy, how are you today?
Real good, Steve.
What? Great to hear from you.
I wasn't going to call because, you know, not being trained as an announcer, you kind of stumble and bumble. But when you, I think you made the statement that the suit pronounces it
Pahonix.
I'm working around my barn. I just started laughing. So I said, Steve deserves to be called here.
So. First of all, Randy, I'm glad you did because it's always great when you do call. So I always enjoy the calls.
Well, anyway.
You got to have fun. You got to have fun on this show. And sure, is he the butt of most of the jokes? Probably.
I did. I was on the golf cart. And, that's what we use around here to get around. I don't play golf, but I enjoy using those things. Anyway, I really learn a lot from you, Steve. I mean, I listen to some other ones over the years. You know, I always tune you in whenever I can, especially when I'm working around the house here. And so probably 3 to 4 times a week I will tune in, and I learn a lot about not just the on-field play, but how finances work and how owners get together and make decisions and, you know, stuff like that. But my question is, when you were in the formal classroom to learn how to be a, what was the curriculum that you took to get into radio or whatever?
Well, to be honest with you, Randy, it's different than it is now. I did take communication courses here at Penn State, and my degree is in speech communication broadcasting.
I'm actually in
a career in what my degree is in, so I feel like I'm ahead of the game to start with. Randy, very quickly, I'll answer that. My time spent in the college radio station may have been, with all due respect to Penn State, may have been more valuable to me than the classes I took. The curriculum has changed here. In the last 20 years, it is now hands-on based. When I was here, it was more theory-based. So my hands-on work was in that college radio station, and I made my usual 1,000 mistakes. And then I tried to cut it down to 500. Then my goal was to somehow get it to 200. Then my goal is to get it to 100. Okay?
Yeah. Well, you have the heart of a teacher. That's my point. You're just not an announcer. You teach, especially with the Steve Jones Show, and you make it fun. You know, I would suggest that Matt would get a wingman so he can, when he throws you a softball, his wingman can advise him, "Hey, you're not doing this right. You're setting Steve up so easily." So Matt ought to get a wingman to protect himself with these statements where you just get him every time. But my other point, if you were offered, Steve, I listened to you for quite a few years now. If you were offered the position of Big Ten commissioner, would you consider it?
Absolutely.
Would you
not?
I mean, would
absolutely
you sit down?
Not.
No.
No, absolutely not. You want to know why? Here's why. And it's actually a very simple answer, Randy. In my profession, everyone perceives what they think is the top job in a profession. So in my profession, there are probably a lot of people that think that being at CBS Sports, Fox Sports, ESPN is the top of the ladder in their sport. Everybody has their own ideas of what they think is the top of the ladder, you know, like what they think is the job. I'm the play-by-play voice of Penn State football and Penn State basketball. In my opinion, that was always the job I wanted, and I feel I've had the job, and there's no way I would give up the job to do something else. That's just not me. I've always wanted to be this. I thoroughly enjoy being this, and doing that. That would be going into work every day. Like, what am I doing? I should be back announcing.
Well, you know, you offer a lot of good ideas, and I know you had a lot of respect for Jim Delaney, and you know, you just wonder sometimes, are they getting the right people to be the Big Ten commissioners? I forget who it is now, but Jim Delaney was real fine. He really got those great TV contracts, and he made them relatively short term so he could renegotiate them. And so you have to be a real statesman to think about that and get the best for Penn State University. So that's why I'm asking you, Steve, if you would just take pause and just think about it.
Well, let me put it this way. Obviously, I'm not going to say I agree with everything Jim did, right? But that comes with leadership. I'm not going to sit there and agree with everything, nor if I were making decisions, would Jim agree with everything I did. But I respected what he did in almost every area. Almost every area.
Yeah.
When it came to the ability to negotiate contracts, there are certain people that are visionaries. Roy Kramer in the Southeastern Conference absolutely was one of them. He came up at the SEC championship game.
Okay.
Mike Slive followed up Roy Kramer and did a brilliant job for the SEC, and now it's Greg Sankey who's doing a great job. Jim Delaney for 30 years held this job. When ESPN tried to lowball him on the TV contract in 2006, he said, "Fine, I'll form my own network." And to be honest, they laughed at him. Yeah, sure, right. And he formed BTN. Everybody looked around and said, "Oh." And then suddenly ESPN came back to the table and came back with a 10-year contract for the Big Ten.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he had that ability, and you're not going to agree with everything he did, but at the same time, there is a form of leadership. And look, he frustrated Joe at times. I mean, you know, because Joe's the one that pushed hard on instant replay. Jim finally did acquiesce to it. Joe pushed hard on getting a 12th team. Now, Jim, to his credit, tried to get Notre Dame. And he did it the right way because he looked at them and said, "Look, you're either all in, including football, or you're all out. It's going to be your decision."
Now, was that for the Big East, Steve?
That was for the Big Ten.
Big Ten.
He tried to, in 1999, Jim Delaney tried to get Notre Dame into the Big Ten. But he told them, "You're either all in or you're all out." The faculty senate at Notre Dame did vote that they wanted to go to the Big Ten. They loved the academic sharing ideas. But when they went to vote on it as a board of trustees, ironically, their board of trustees meeting that year was in Dublin, Ireland. Okay.
Uh-oh.
And they said no, they wanted to keep football independent, and that blew it up. But then they finally settled on Nebraska because Joe wanted a championship game. He felt it, you know. And it's, you know, Jim would come around to Joe's ideas. He just he took his time with it because you are trying to satisfy at that point 11 different groups in your conference. And Jim understood he worked for the presidents. He understood that part, that he worked for the presidents. Again, I'm not going to say I agree with everything he did. Obviously, there's one big one that obviously I didn't agree with. But other than that, I had a lot of, and continue to have a lot of respect for Jim Delaney.
Yeah, I can tell when you talk about him. You do, yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for taking my call, Steve.
Oh, well, Randy, what you said was very, very kind, and it means a lot. Thank you so much.
Yep, and I'll keep tuning in. I'll try not to laugh hard too hard. I might have a coronary or something.
Well, that's okay. I mean, I appreciate the fact you're tuning in. It doubles our ratings. All right. So.
All right. Have a nice Easter, Steve. And you
have
too, Matt.
You have a great Easter, Randy. Great Easter.
Okay.
See, to me, if somebody were to ask me what I have more fun with on the show than anything else, it's taking calls. I have more fun taking calls and talking to Randy, talking to Doug from Wellsboro, talking to Dick from Milton, right, and go through the long list of people that do call. I have more fun talking to people on the show than anything else that we do. I have more fun with that. And it doesn't, you know, and believe me, you don't have to call and agree with everything I say, even though it's recommended. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, we do, but that is, I'll say this, it doesn't mean you have to agree with everything I'm saying, but we do try to talk about a series of elements that make sports go, and that's why we do talk about the money element, where part of what we're trying to do is not just talk about it, but also educate everybody as to why or why not elements are or are not happening. Now, when it comes to money, obviously, you know, a guy that only works 63% of the time wants $500 billion. I mean, that's your guy, right?
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
I mean, if your name were Matt Steinbrenner, you'd be like, give it to him. Give it to him. Uncle Hal. Give him the money, Uncle Hal.
I would.
Of course you would.
But it's also not my money currently. Or would it be in that case?
You'd be amazed out of nowhere. Suddenly it's Matt Steinbrenner's money. Matt Cotrillo Steinbrenner's money. Right? Suddenly out of nowhere, I don't think we can afford that. And why don't we get Miguel Sanu from the Twins? He hits a lot of home runs. He's cheaper. Suddenly out of nowhere, the Yankees are run like the Tampa Bay Rays. I mean, you struggle going to Sheetz. I don't think I can afford that. Now you're going to give somebody $500 million? No, not you. You're over there going, you know, the crackers are 89 cents. The chips are $1.99. Let's get crackers. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment. Great to have you with us today. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Really, we got 1-0 line right now, so we would go 1-0 and then go special teams and then come back with the 2-0 to give the O-line a little bit of a blow. And kind of went back and forth. So we got a bunch of special teams work, which was really good. What you really have to be careful is that it doesn't limit the development of a bunch of other positions. So I think we've managed it pretty good. Obviously, the guys that are missing reps, we prefer that they didn't. There's also some guys that we're going to be dependent on that are going to get here in the summer as well. And we're going to have to get them caught up as soon as we possibly can. But I know the guys that are getting reps have really done a nice job, and we're playing physical. And, you know, I've been really impressed with our commitment to the running game. We've really done a good job of emphasizing that. I think we'll put ourselves in better position to do that this year in time.
Yeah, everything he said is spot on. There was, you know, there's no coach speak in there. I can tell you that that's what's been happening. As time has gone, right, they've actually been able to get a guy or two back, which has helped. That doesn't mean you don't lose somebody else along the way. Knock on wood, you hope you don't. But that is... that's been the situation with the offensive line. I always love when people sit there and go, oh, they mismanaged. They did. It had nothing to do with that. See, when I hear stuff like that, you know, people say it to me or they said they read somewhere. I said, what? It's just, it's amazing how circumstances happen. And it's just, all it is really is circumstances. And the circumstances, I hope, it looked to me like as of Wednesday that the circumstances with that offensive line are starting to turn a little bit. Now, they don't have everybody there yet. They've got, obviously, freshmen coming in. They've got a transfer coming in. People have asked about the transfer, whom by name, obviously, I can't mention, but you know who I'm talking about. He's still at his other school right now on the verge of graduating. So that's what they're, you know, that's why he's not here right now. So believe me, it'll all straighten itself out. But as of a week ago, I mean, when he talked to the media, I guess he probably said that on Wednesday. But at least you feel like they're going in the direction physically of, as I pointed out earlier, the players that are out are not out for the year. They're not out for the year. And it has not all, I mean, it's, eventually they'll get everybody back. but slowly it's warping. It's going in that direction. Everybody has fewer numbers in the spring to begin with. Everybody. So don't sit back and say, well, this doesn't happen, and you can pick X, Y, and Z. It happens everywhere. Most schools are right around where Penn State is, right about 90 players right now because of the turnover. Sometimes with a transfer portal, you don't get somebody in right away. Like Tinsley, they were fortunate they got him in right away because he made his decision before the spring semester began. Others have made their decisions since. You know, not all the recruits are in. That's why you have fewer numbers.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Six great flavors of slushies. And the pickle bar led by the barrels and the dills. Indeed, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. No king, huh? Sounds like no Matt either. I think I'm here alone. Oh, there he is.
For some reason, are you on the air
there? Yeah. So, I mean, hey, Matt, for some reason, my screen doesn't show the call being there. So, my apologies.
I don't know what happened there. But yeah, we got him now. We were just talking about how much we hate the Red Sox. It was fun.
Oh, everybody already knows that you hate them.
Oh, this is like Christmas, Steve. This is like the Red Sox are losing on opening day. They're getting the crap beat out of them.
To the Twins. Oh.
Yeah, I mean, Pivetta was not good today.
That's the Pivetta we all know and love.
He lasted two innings.
Yeah.
Can't get into a crappy bullpen too quick.
Yeah, and you'll notice they do not have a good bullpen. That'll be an Achilles heel.
Maybe by the end of the year they will, but not now. I don't think Matt Barnes is back yet. So
I don't think so.
He's having trouble with his control or something. I don't know. But.
Well, that's been here.
I'm in Studio 10 on the campus of UConn today.
So. Yeah. Well, I mean, when it comes to like losing control, you just described Matt's role in the show. All right. So,
actually, to segue off of that, I don't think I've ever shared the story of I almost got into a fight with a Red Sox female fan one time. When I was 10 years old.
This is just the lowest form of...
I only bring this up because King asked me if I've ever been to Fenway Park. I said, no, it's on my bucket list. He said, you got to go. And he told me about the Yankees Suck t-shirts that they sell in front of Fenway Park. So that reminds me of the time I'm up in Boston for a family vacation. The Yankees and Red Sox weren't playing, but I was wearing my Yankee stuff just because, you know, I wanted to stir the pot a little bit. So, I see this girl, probably about my age. Like I said, I'm like 10 years old, so I don't know any better at the time, sort of. And
I thought you were like 20 when you did it.
No. Oh, yeah, no. I would never do that. Yeah. This is like when I was 10 and immature. But anyway, so.
Okay, I have a list of things I could say now for comedic effect. I'm not going to do it.
So, this girl is wearing the same Yankee Suck t-shirt. And, of course, I'm decked out in my Yankee gear. So her and I meet eyes, and we exchange some nasty looks. And when my dad notices that as we're walking by, my dad put a hand on my shoulder thinking I was going to clog her or something. I was like, no. But I'm going to exchange some nasty looks with her because I hate Boston. And there was that. So, yeah, almost got a little confrontation with a fellow 10-year-old.
But the good news is, in the end, he married her. All right, so.
Hey, me and Steve were there. We were at a game once when a Yankee fan was, like, got a beer or something, and he's walking down the in center field, and he fell on the stairs, and the Red Sox fans are kicking him while he's down.
Yeah, no, that's a violation. Yeah, that's not right.
It's brutal at Yankee Stadium, too, when the Red Sox are in there.
There are several things I don't like. I can't stand something like that, obviously, okay? Because I was at a game on opening day once, not with you, Kev. I went to opening day. It was opening day, okay? And they were playing Cleveland. And it was the first day. It was 1977. It was the day that Reggie Jackson debuted with the Yankees, along with Don Gullett. And they'd signed Don Gullett from the Cincinnati Reds. And this guy gets up in the bleachers and screams out Reggie Jackson and Don Gullett forever. And this is like four or five rows in front of me.
Oh, boy.
And, it was awful. I mean, I'm talking like disgustingly awful. I mean, these people jumped on him and were beating the daylights out of him. I'm like, what are we doing here? Now, this is 1977. But what I can't stand is the Red Sox will be playing, Kansas City. And they start chanting, the Yankees suck, the Yankees. Hey, idiots. You've
the
won
Yankees
four
do
worlds.
Not care about the Red Sox if they're not playing them. The Red Sox and their announcers and everyone are obsessed with the Yankees. They're obsessed with John Sterling. They're obsessed with, the station I listen to in the morning. They'll replay John Sterling calls from the night before.
Oh, God. And then
the
Boston
station.
And they just got some ammo the other night, too.
You wish you could be doing your job for 50 years,
Exactly. I pointed out, I met John.
Have you?
Yeah. John, at one point, was doing the Atlanta Hawks.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
And the Hawks played, believe it or not, a preseason game in the Jordan Center against the Clippers. A marvelous man to talk to. So knowledgeable. Nothing but respect for him. And guess what? He's 83 years old.
Yeah.
All those fans in the ballpark. And this one, it's always a teaching moment for me, not what John did, but it's always a teaching moment for me with my students when I get to the point where I'm talking to them about how to announce baseball. And I said, I always tell them that one of the bigger problems with baseball is depth perception, not anything hit in the infield or anything like that. But when a ball's hit to the outfield, how often do you hear the crowd when the ball's hit to the outfield go, oh, and all of a sudden the outfielder's like going, all right, come on, I'm right here, come on. I said, that's why you always look at the fielder first. He'll take you to the ball. Well, if the fans are making that mistake, sometimes an 83-year-old guy might make a mistake in announcing it.
One of my headlines of the week.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
What's the over-under on how many home runs John Sterling's going to call that are it's caught.
And I've worked in that booth, so I know how low he is to the field. I worked in John's
excitement
booth.
When he gets there, excited, and the guy and catches it.
And I'll be the last person on the planet as somebody who has walked a few miles in his shoes. You're not going to sit there and criticize a guy that's a legend like that. But back to the Red Sox for a moment. The Red Sox fans, you've won four World Series in the last 17 years, 18 years. 18 years you've won four World Series. Give it up. Give it up.
It's basically the Boston fan.
Right. Yeah,
you're a 20-year-old and you grew up in Massachusetts I mean, you've got the Patriots
won
six
spoiled.
Super Bowls.
Yeah.
The Celtics won. The Bruins won.
Yep.
The Red Sox, with all you know is winning. You don't.
Right.
If you grew up where exactly. we grew up, they sucked at everything forever. You know,
I mean,
except for Bobby Orr. Well, the Celtics were good, but the Patriots. My God,
Patriots are
people
bad.
People forget they were called the Boston Patriots.
That's right.
So, I mean, you and I went
Steve
up to their
Rogan
training.
And get the snot beat out of them every week.
Every
funny.
Week, Jim Plunkett. Oh, I mean, Jim Plunkett and Randy Vataha came in from Stanford. Came in from Stanford. You're like going, oh, great. I mean, and nobody where we lived was a quote Boston Patriots fan. Nobody was.
No, we lived. Yeah. We were Giants. So.
Yeah, but yeah. But my point is, stop acting like you're the little brother. Just go play ball. Okay, you're playing the Minnesota Twins. Don't start the Yankee chant. What kind of idiots are you?
Yeah. They're Red Sox fans. They're Boston fans. They're really they're hard to deal with. So
yeah,
but they travel well, and that makes people hate them even more because you know if they're playing the Yankees, you'll have at least 10,000 to 15,000 Red Sox fans at Yankee Stadium.
They've showed up a lot more lately too, and that's a sad thing for Yankee Stadium.
But you know what though? Let's reverse it. There are a lot of Yankee fans going to Fenway Park too, so
true.
It's not.
Yeah.
Ticket to get though in New York, and
it's a bigger stadium.
The game I went to, there were fights everywhere, and you could not wear any shirt. If you had a shirt that said like Yankees suck or Red Sox suck, you had to turn it inside out, and the guards walked around and made you, and if you refused to do it, they kicked you out of the stadium. That was a Yankee stadium because it was a Saturday, and then the Red Sox won 19-2.
Oh, I remember that game. That was not fun.
Anyway.
All
right. Well, we'll take a break. And we'll come back with more in a moment. By the way, I believe it's sundown. Passover begins. And so happy Passover. And, of course, this is Good Friday. And Pavarotti is singing again tomorrow. You doing all right?
I'm good.
Yeah, good. Yeah,
I'm all good.
Really,
I'm ready to roll.
No, you sound fresh.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Don't worry about you. We'll come back with more in a moment. Great to have you with us today. We're brought to you by Brewers Outlet here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
All right, headlines that we'll see next week.
All right, King, why don't you get it going?
Well, I already did one, but I'll start. I think this one's interesting, and not to go to the Boston area again, but it's a big series. Are the Celtics going to regret winning out and drawing Cleveland Cavaliers, I'm sorry, the Brooklyn Nets in the first round of the NBA playoffs?
I think the Celtics win in six.
What makes it tougher? What's tough for Boston is they lost Robert Williams for a period of time. They're not going to get him back in this series. He has been the defensive rudder of that team.
And they don't have anybody who can do what he can do.
No. Now that doesn't mean that, for example, like the Nets are more of a perimeter team, but you've got to be able to get a handle on Durant. It's going to be a tough series for Boston.
Yeah, and if they just lost one or two games, they would have drawn Chicago, you know?
Right.
It's like, did you really want to be that good? But there is a reason why Cleveland's down the bottom. Why do I keep calling them Cleveland?
It's the Nets.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Brooklyn. Same thing, Brooklyn, Cleveland. So.
I still like the Celtics, though. I do. Well,
okay, that's what I got.
I'll keep things going with the NBA here. Sixers-Raptors game one tomorrow. I'm bracing for disappointment. I am. I hate to say it. I hope I'm wrong. I hope things somehow change. But I like the Raptors in seven, unfortunately.
Well, Toronto's tough because he dropped the ball. Oh, what a great opening day. Whatever. Center fielder for the Red Sox dropped the ball.
Well done.
Yippee. The Raptors is tough because of the COVID. If you got players who aren't vaccinated, they can't play.
And the Sixers have one of them. Their top defensive guy, Matisse Thybulle, is ineligible. He only has one dose of the vaccine right now.
Wow. Yeah, oh my God. It hits his glove, bounces out of the glove, hits him in the mouth.
Oh, this is great.
I'm going to be a play-by-play. This doesn't get better than this. This is Christmas in freaking April.
Steve, what do you got?
Are filing out of Fenway.
There you go.
The USFL opens this weekend. Will anybody notice?
No.
And it turns out both Fox and NBC are both broadcasting the opener.
Yeah, they're going to lose money.
Over the air.
Football is the NFL, and that is it. It's just like Canadian football. Who watches it, you know? It's the NFL, or it's not. So.
Fox and NBC are making a very dumb decision, but I know they're trying to hype it up with the top teams. They got, like, Kurt Menefee on. Kevin Kugler, in fact, is doing one of the other games, but, yeah, no.
No, but what they're doing, look, first of all, they haven't put a lot of money into it, so that doesn't... Right. And the players are all being paid $45,000 each. They're not getting millions and millions of dollars to play this either.
Right.
That's good. I mean, they still get to show their talent to hope that they can get a look in the NFL.
Yeah.
I get that. That's good. But, you know, it's like I was amazed how many arena football players made it to the NFL. But a few, you know.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Meanwhile, I mean, Matt's going to spend his weekend breaking down Malik Willis tape. All right, so it's like,
I'm not wasting my time with that.
I mean, come on, what the heck?
Oh, I'm going to stick with sports media, and this is actually a beef. Shocking, I know. With NBC,
you're kind of a bitter guy.
Well, it's just I kind of feel bad for Catherine Tappan here. It looked like she was going to be the heir apparent to Michelle Tafoya, and she did the Super Bowl alongside Michelle this past year for NBC. But NBC passed her by, and they're going to go with Melissa Stark. Nothing against Melissa Stark. She does a great job. She's obviously experienced. She did Monday Night Football for a few years. But
too
I don't know.
I
feel like if I'm Catherine Tappan, I feel a little disrespected.
I love Catherine Tappan. Catherine Tappan was the Bruins sideline reporter for years. And she was good. The players loved her.
She knows what she's doing. Yeah, she knows who she's doing. I mean, she's very
good.
And so does Melissa Stark. She knows what she's doing, too. So,
yeah.
Who knows? I mean, maybe this opens up
too much makeup. She's got to tone it down a little bit, you know? They're beautiful women. Don't get me wrong. But it's a little bit too much. She's just... You know, because you're the only woman on the set. You don't have to.
As for Catherine Tappan, maybe this opens the door for her to do the Amazon broadcast.
That's what I hope. Because it looks like Aaron Andrews is going to stay at Fox.
So good. I mean, she's easy to listen to, and she knows her stuff.
Yeah.
She's great on hockey. Oh, God.
Yeah. I miss her. I wish she would have went to TNT, but she stayed with NBC. And she ended up getting some good opportunities. She did the Olympics, too. But anyway, that was my beef there. King, what's next
for
you?
That's a good one. No. What stupid thing will Cam Newton say this week?
Oh, no. Yeah. He just needs
to
go away.
That?
Yes, he just needs to go away. Like, I've had enough of Cam.
Oh, my God. Like, he's a spokesman.
He speaks highly
for
of you.
You know, my brother-in-law calls him Scam Newton, and I love it.
What a moron.
He really is.
Women should just shut up. Okay. Have a good night, Cam. See you.
Yeah,
you can't even count on. You can't even respond to the stuff he was saying. They should just cook. Okay.
Yeah.
Guess you're not eating tonight, Cam.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, he's a loser. Steve, what's next for you?
Great weather, blue-white game draws more than 60,000 fans.
Wow. When's a blue-white game?
Week from tomorrow.
Yeah, I agree.
Week from tomorrow.
They got to have a big year this year.
I think they're going to be just fine.
I hope so. Now, the quarterback's coming in for a sixth season, right?
Yep. Yep, he's had a good spring.
Hey, you know, I wanted to lead with something like this. Not to change the subject that much, but this is getting out of hand, this one and done with these college players transferring. Holy crap. UConn lost half their team. I think Alabama lost their entire team.
Yeah. It's.
I mean, you can't be doing this. This is crazy, you know?
It's interesting because obviously they sign letters of intent. They go there. I don't know. All I know is that it's my job to keep track of it because I've got to see who's in and who's out, who's coming, who's going. And you're going to see you're about to see a rash of these happen in the next 3 or 4 weeks in football because spring practice will be over and people will look around and say, okay, where do I stand here? And they may not be happy with where they stand. So we shall see.
Yep.
I don't know. I just you cannot empower 18-year-old athlete students that way. That they can just. I like what Gino Auriemma said. He said, well, "We spend a lot of money recruiting these kids, and now they can just up and leave." And that's you know, what are they really learning from it? If you don't like something, quit, go someplace else. Hey, or tough it out, and maybe you need to change a little bit.
Well,
you know?
We had trouble empowering the suit, and he's not 18. All right, so.
it's too easy.